Okay, good evening, everyone. What do people think about this time in general? Is this too late?
It's not quite bedtime.
It's not quite bedtime. It's almost bedtime. What a nice way to get ready for bed than by just watching me. All right, well, if anyone has any specific, very focused opinions on whether this is too late, let me know.
And when we're done, I can lock the show.
What?
I know that when we're done, I can lock the show.
Sure. Okay, so let's begin. I apologize to everyone who is in Zoom land that this week I do not have the, I'm not going to be sharing the sources, but I will be going through them systematically, and I will do my best to make it very clear, even if you do not have the sources in front of you. So what I want to speak about today is the question of if there is an obligation to wear tcheles, just to make sure we're all on the same page. So if you take a look at source number one, for those of you who are here, there is a well-known idea that's brought down in the Rambam and many other places about the reality of wearing tzitzis in general, right? So as a general rule, the Torah tells us that we have an obligation to put tzitzis, to put fringes, strings, one on the four-cornered garments that we have. But nowadays, what's the problem with that? We don't have four-cornered garments. That's not how we walk around nowadays. And so therefore, you would say, so technically, none of us are really ever going to be obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis. But the Rambam jumps in, and this is very clearly what we hold by nowadays. He says as follows, the Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis, even though there is no obligation to buy tzitzis and wear them, it isn't fitting that a pious person should exempt themselves from this mitzvah. Rather, one should always try to wear a garment that is obligated in tzitzis, and in particular, during times of prayer, one should be specific scrupulous about this, right? And so this, therefore, becomes the custom nowadays that every single person, we'll say person, but we know that we, for our purposes right now, we mean men. This is not a class about the obligation of women or lack thereof to wear tzitzis. Perhaps we can have that conversation at another time. So right now, we're going to assume that when we say people, we know what we mean. Was that me?
Whoa. I'm trying to figure it out.
Oh, but it just started all of a sudden.
Go ahead.
Okay, but if anyone has any strong questions about that afterwards, feel free to ask me. But then perhaps maybe we should talk about that sometime. But right now, when we say the obligation and we say people, we know what we mean. Okay, so with that, so since there is a very strong custom to wear tzitzis, and so therefore, even though there is no direct again, there is a strong custom to wear a four-cornered garment, which is definitely obligated to wear tzitzis. But obviously, if we were not wearing that four-cornered garment, we would technically not be obligated, but there is a strong custom to do our best to do so, so that we will be obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, the tzitzis that we have nowadays typically have it's just a regular four-cornered garment, and it has white strings that go along with it. So where does this whole idea of tcheles even start? So it starts from a pasuk in source number two, in which we're told Hashem said to Moshe as follows, speak to the Israelite people and instruct them to make for themselves fringes on the corners of their garments throughout the ages. Let them attach a cord of blue to the fringe at each corner. Now, this is a this translation sort of took its own rights over here to translate things as it wanted to. It doesn't really say blue fringe on the corner. It says that on every corner there should be a petil techelet, which for their purposes, they're going to translate as a blue fringe. And even for our purposes, we'll translate it as this blue fringe on the corner. But the truth is, as we'll see, not everyone was so clear throughout the ages that tcheles was even blue. Perhaps, as some suggested, maybe it was indigo, maybe it was purple. And ultimately, we disagree with that, but there were those who had such a thought in that regard. Now, the number one question we have to ask ourselves before we even delve into the topic any further is if there is this strong custom to wear tzitzis, and as we see from the pasuk now that there is this obligation to have tcheles on your tzitzis, so even if this is a strong custom to obligate ourselves in tzitzis, why, if there is no tcheles nowadays, which we'll assume for right now that there is no tcheles nowadays, why would anyone ever say that they should be obligated in tzitzis when the Torah seems to say you are only going to be obligated to wear tzitzis with tcheles in it? Right? People understand the question? Basically, we have this obligation to wear tzitzis, and part of that means having blue strings. But if we don't have the blue strings, which again, theoretically, let's say we don't, so then why would we ever be obligated in tzitzis? Maybe you should say, I'm never going to be obligated unless I have the blue. So what might you say? Why would we maybe still be obligated even if we don't have the blue?
In
get out of the habit of wearing tzitzit and you'd forget about it.
Oh.
I'm trying to switch it to the TV.
Okay. So Miriam brings up a wonderful point, right? So perhaps as there are certain mitzvot that we sometimes say, there is a concern that maybe we will get out of the habit of doing a mitzvah. So it's really not such a strong obligation. Maybe it's not even a biblical obligation to wear tzitzis, but we do it because, God willing, someday the biblical obligation will return. And therefore, you should go ahead and continue to wear tzitzis now. The Ramban, Nachmanides, actually very famously says that all mitzvos nowadays outside of the land of Israel, not just like Truma and the Israel-bound mitzvos, but all mitzvos, keeping kosher, keeping Shabbos, all these things, he says that they only really apply in the land of Israel, and the reason why we keep them outside of the land of Israel is because we don't want to fall out of practice, and which sort of is very demeaning for anyone who spends their life living outside of Israel, which ultimately leads you to the conclusion that perhaps someday you should consider moving to Israel. Again, not a conversation for right now, but at the end of the day, Miriam says correctly that perhaps this is just a trial run until we could do the real thing. So I'll tell you, even though it's a great thought, Miriam, that's totally incorrect, and it is 100% still considered a biblical commandment to wear nowadays, and it's not just a practice run, but why? Well, it would seem from the verse that the two go hand in hand. If you don't have the blue, you shouldn't have the white. If you do have the blue, then you should go ahead and wear the tzitzis. Yeah, right?
Well, there are two different levels here. There's fringes in general, and then there's tehillah, and they're spoken of in two separate instances. So one would think that maybe they're separate, therefore separate.
Okay, good. So Ray says correctly that if you look at the verse, it says, V'asu lehem tzitzis al kanfei bigdehem ledorosam, you should wear tzitzis on the four corners for throughout your generations. Pause or hard stop. V'nasnu al tzitzis hakanaf b'til techilis. And in addition to that, you should go ahead and wear the blue stuff as well. And so there are those who go so far as to say that perhaps these are actually two separate mitzvos. There is the mitzvah to wear tzitzis. That means the white strings. And as we'll see, it doesn't have to be white strings, but we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But you wear white strings with your white garment, and then you go ahead and fulfill your obligation. And then on top of that, there is an obligation to put some blue strings if you have that as well. And in fact, that seems to be, at least on some level, the connotation of the Gemara in Menachos in source number 3, in which the Mishnah tells us, HaTecheles eina me'akeves es halavan, v'halavan eino me'akeves es haTecheles. Let's say you only have Techeles, you only have the blue strings. Or let's say you only have the white strings, which was the case for 1,000 years plus. And so therefore, says the Mishnah, neither one has any impact on the other. If for some reason you only have techeles, then you should just have all your strings made of techeles. And if you only have the white strings and no techeles, then you should only wear the white strings, and that would be seemingly totally okay, implying that what Ray said is correct, that maybe these are two separate commandments, or at the very least, not two separate commandments, but perhaps one commandment that can be viewed as sort of the ideal or the lesser ideal, right? You go ahead and the absolute ideal is to have the blue fringes, and without the blue fringes, of course, you can still keep the commandment. You just won't be able to do it in the absolute best way until someday when you actually could do that once again. And so, with all this said, we now understand a few things. Number one, we have a strong custom nowadays to wear tzitzis. Number two, we have an obligation to put techeles on it. Number three, even if we don't have techeles, we still have this obligation to wear tzitzis if it's just the white strings. But the question really becomes now, and this will be the remainder of our class this evening, of what exactly is techeles, right? So the Torah is very unclear, and it's sort of speaking to a population that seemed to totally understand exactly what techeles was, but nowadays, a few thousand years later, when the Torah was given, so we're not as well-read or well-understanding of what techeles means, and that's really going to be the crux of the debate that we're going to go through right now, trying to understand what techeles actually is. And once we know what it is, or at least once we're able to stipulate far enough what it might have been, then do we have it nowadays? And if we have it nowadays, then the question is going to be, are we definitely obligated to wear it? Or perhaps are we only theoretically maybe going to assume that it's a nice thing to do, but not an obligation? And the number one question here really is that if you go to any Judaica store that sells tcheles, which nowadays it's much more than it used to be. But, and by the way, full disclosure, I wear tcheles. So I assume you know now how I feel. And we will conclude our shiur in the affirmative that one should wear tcheles. if you go to I'll show you.
Oh, okay. No,
it's never appropriate for a rabbi to put their hands in their pants except for when they're pulling out the tcheles. And then, so yeah, can they see? Let's see.
What is the purpose of the tcheles?
Oh, okay, we'll get there. Why can't we see it here? Here's the blue. There. Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Okay, so with that said, so the question really is what is the source of the tcheles? In other words, where does it come from? So says the Tosefta in source number 4, the Tosefta goes back to the times of the Mishnaic period. So think of it like the Second Temple period. So it says that tcheles are only kosher if they come from a chilazon. What's a chilazon?
Oh,
some people say snail.
A snail.
Okay, a lot of people say snail. How do you know it's a snail?
I learned it on a kibbutz. They talked about
it. Okay, good. Okay, good. So some people say it's a snail, and we'll see that many people do assume that it is a snail nowadays. But that assumption is an assumption as far as we're concerned right now, because as we'll see in just a moment, the primary reason why some people assume that you cannot go ahead and wear tcheles nowadays is because we have no idea what a chilazon is. In fact, we don't even know exactly the animal that it came from, this dye that it came from. And therefore, if you don't know the animal that it came from, if you cannot identify what a chilazon actually is, then you can go find 100 different animals that produce some sort of a blue tinted dye to dye our tzitzis, but at the end of the day, if we don't know what it is, we don't know what it is, right? It could be any animal under the sun, and so therefore maybe you shouldn't do it if you don't know exactly 100% sure what the animal is. So if you take a look at source number 5, it was this article that sort of made headlines that came out a few decades ago. And it had to do with this reality of whether or not we can assume and believe that modern-day tcheles is tcheles. Now, let's just take a quick survey. Do people are people aware of how many different types of tcheles is out there nowadays?
No.
Okay, good. So as a general rule, there are two types of tcheles out there. There is the petil, or psil, as I would say, tcheles, which comes from a factory, I think, in Male Adumim, and they have a massive factory, and they produce tcheles, the blue stuff, from snails. But then there is, and that's it's relatively new. It's within the last 70, 80 years or so. And then there is what was called the Radzin Tcheles, and that is still around nowadays from the Radzina Rebbe, I believe in the mid-1800s or late 1800s or so. And what he did was he sort of identified a totally different source for the Tcheles. It came from a cuttlefish, as he found it. And it's very distinct. Anyone who wears Tcheles or who knows anything about Tcheles, you'll see it immediately when you see someone who has Radzin Tcheles or someone who has Psil Tcheles. Radzin tcheles always looks like it's like bleeding a little bit. Like if you look at the white strings, they always look like they're kind of catching some of that blue dye from the other strings, as opposed to the psil tcheles, which is sort of the most mainstream and most accepted nowadays. It remains very distinct from the rest of the white strings, and none of the dye will ever come on it. And that's sort of the nature of this dye that comes from the snail. Okay, so if you take a look in source number 5, so what exactly happened? Meaning, how did we lose the source of the tcheles? It's sort of unusual. So says the source, this halacha brura, there was this article that came out as follows. It is unclear exactly when the identity of the chilazon and the manner of producing tcheles became unknown. Tcheles was definitely available after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, as there are references in the Gemara of Amoraim having it, right? So the Amoraim lived into the 400s and 500s of the Common Era. So that means for sure, if the Amoraim had it, that means it was around about 1500 years years ago or so. The latest reference to the possession of Techelis in the Gemara is a reference to Rav Achai having it. Rav Achai was one of the heads of the Rabbanan Savarai, the post-Amorai Chachamim, who were the final editors of the Gemara. So the Gemara was completed in the year 475. Rav Achai was Niftar, he passed away around the year 510. And so since he was the last person who we knew historically who had the old Techelis, so that means, again, approximately 1,500 years ago, that was the last true documented case of having it. Now, the Medrash Tanchuma, which was completed around 750 CE, states that, and I, those of us who have the source sheet, you'll see there's a lot of text, so we're not going to read all this text, but it's sort of just an excerpt from this article, that nowadays all we have are white threads because the source of Techeles has been concealed, right? So this is going to be the primary source of our debate over here, right? Because let's say you can prove exactly what animal the Chilazon is, and you can bring various sources that prove that, and you can show that the dye itself is so clearly the same dye that they use in the times of the Gemara and before then. So you should assume, right, anyone who has any level of intellectual honesty, you should be able to conclude that it's the Techeles. However, if you are a believer in the Medrash and in this tradition that exists out there, that the notion of whatever the Techeles is was concealed from us, and indeed there are those who say that we will not have Techeles until Mashiach comes. So if you believe that, and if you are a believer in that tradition, so then Techeles becomes totally irrelevant nowadays. Again, you can go from here until tomorrow trying to bring proofs, but we have another tradition that says we will never figure it out, so why even try? Okay, so let's go a little further. The Ramban postulates that Techeles became lost due to governmental decrees that prohibited commoners from possessing it at it as it was marked a royal color. Others claim that it was a result of the persecution of the Jews under the Byzantine Empire and the Muslims during the 7th century. The Jews were forced to wander from place to place, and in the interim, the tradition of the Chilazon and the way it is processed became lost. One of the interesting elements of how the dye comes out of the Chilazon, as the Gemara talks about and as it is done nowadays, is that it's not simply just that you, pour out some of the dye from the snail, and then bada bing, bada boom, you have the dye. You have to go through a whole chemical process to actually transform this this liquid that comes out from the animal into the proper blue dye. And that sort of is the real question over here. So it's not just that you have this beautiful blue dye, it's that you have, I think it's more purplish color dye, and that you have to figure out how exactly it's changed into the blue dye. Okay, so with that, so again, we're not going to do this next part inside, but just sort of to go through what happened exactly over the last 100 plus years or so. So basically what happened was, Maurice, do you mind just muting? So what happened about 100 years ago, in the late 1800s, was that the Ritzina Rebbe, Rav Gershon Chenoch Liner, so he came around and he said, I think I can figure out exactly... I think I could figure out exactly where the source of Techeles is. And he wrote a whole book on the matter. And essentially, he ended up saying, as we said just a moment ago, that Chilazon comes from the cuttlefish. And so he said, of course it comes from the cuttlefish. And he brought all these various proofs for this. And as such, anyone to this day who comes from the Radzid line, which I actually had a friend in yeshiva when I was studying in yeshiva post-high school in Israel, he asked Rav Nevinsal, who was one of the great Gedolim of our time, and he said that I am a Redziner, I'm from the Redzin line, and so should I wear that Techeles? Which again, if you're not a Redziner, everyone thinks it's wrong. Or, since he is a member of this, Masorah, this tradition, should he go ahead and wear the Redzin Techeles? And Rav Nevinsal said, since you are a member of this specific tradition, you can trace yourself back to this Chassidus, so you should go ahead and wear the Redzin Techeles. Again, no one else should probably be wearing it, but if you are a member of that sect, then you should go ahead and wear it. So what happened after him, so again, this was the late 1800s, the Radzina Rebbe said that I found Techeles, it's very exciting, we should now go ahead and start wearing Techeles. So then after that, what basically happened was that there was a whole big debate in all of the Jewish world, and the main argument that's quoted to this day is from the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, from the early 1800s. So he received a pear or some of the dye from the Radziner Rebbe, and he wanted his haskama, he wanted to tell him that it was totally permissible to go ahead and start wearing this tcheles, and not just permissible, but that there's an obligation to go ahead and wear the tcheles, and he came along with the following idea. So let's turn to our sources for just a moment. Let's... All right, we'll skip forward for a moment. If you take a look in source number 9, so the Shulchan Aruch brings a custom that we follow nowadays, seemingly, and it's as follows. Some say that it's necessary that the color of the tzitzis and talis are the same, and those who are particular are accustomed to practice this way. And says the Ramah, the Rav Moshe Isserlis, and Ashkenazim are accustomed to make only white tzitzis, even for colored garments, and there is no need to change the custom. Right? So essentially what the Shulchan Aruch comes ahead and says in around the 1600s or so, is that we have a strong custom nowadays that no matter what, your beged has the piece of clothing that has the tzitzis on it has to match the strings. If you have a green beged, you should have green strings. If you have a white beged, you should have white strings. This actually was the source of great debate when in the army, in the Israeli army. So everyone in the Israeli army who's worth their weight in green has green tzitzis. So like the beged itself is green. So there's a big question: should they now wear green strings or should they have white strings? So if you're a big follower of the Shulchan Aruch, well, you should have green strings. But the Ramah, the Ashkenaz perspective, basically always was that you have white strings no matter what. And so since this became the predominant custom, again, this is not a halacha. Nowhere in the Torah does it say your strings have to be X, Y, or Z. As far as the Torah is concerned, you could have rainbow strings, whatever, as long as you do your best to have techeles in there as well. But since this became the predominant custom, we always try to either A, match our strings to our beged, or B, if you're Ashkenazi, then you should match, you should always have white strings to correspond to your beged. This is, as some will explain, that the some of the firmer crowd has like this, this is a very uncomfortable sheet, some modern day tzitzis have like this black stripe. So where does this black stripe come from? And where does the stripe on the talus that most people have, where does that, where do those black stripes come from? So there are those who say is that this is actually a mistake. They're not meant to be black. What color should they be? Blue. Why should they be blue? To match the techeles strings. So there are those who explain that the reason why, let's say things actually make sense when you think about it long enough. So the reason why we have these stripes on our talus or and some of us on our smaller tzitzis is because it's meant to match the techeles strings. Nowadays, however, the tradition sort of got disturbed or lost in a sense. So we all have the black strings that we, the black stripes that we use. And so anyways, well, this was sort of a segue to the point of that the Radziner Rebbe, he went to the Beis Halevi, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, and he said, hey, I would like a haskama, I'd like you to say that this is the tcheles and that everyone should start wearing it. But the Beis Halevi says, how could I do that? We have a tradition, as old as time, of over 1,000 years at this point, that we do not wear tcheles, right? Meaning, it's true that we used to have a tradition that tcheles was X, Y, and Z, but we have no such tradition. And in fact, our tradition at this point is that we lost it. So we don't have the right to go ahead and initiate and start up a quote-unquote new tradition and say that this is the tcheles, because at the end of the day, we can never say that unequivocally so, that this is the tcheles. And so therefore, the Beis Halevi said, I cannot give my haskama, I cannot agree to wear this. And he added one step further, that not only is it a problem of the tradition, but also that it will never, our begeds, our tzitzis clothing will never match the strings, because we don't have blue begadim. That's why, by the way, if anyone who's ever davened here with me, either for Shacharis or on a Shabbos morning, that's why my talus, I stick out a little bit. That's why I have actually I have blue stripes and I don't have black stripes, because I wear tcheles, and I figure, and for various reasons, in my family, I don't have any tradition one way or the other. And so I sort of got a tabula rasa when I was choosing to figure out what talus I was going to wear. So I wear a white talus with blue stripes to match my white strings and my blue strings that are on my, it's both on my tzitzis and on my talus. The reason why I don't have one that matches my smaller tzitzis over here is because I Can't find anyone that makes it. If anyone knows anyone that makes these smaller tzitzis that has a blue stripe, you let me know, because I'd like to buy that. But okay, so I digress. So going back now, so the Beis HaLevi said, I cannot permit this to be worn, because traditionally we have no such tradition to allow wearing of the tcheles, and we don't know where it comes from. And number two, it doesn't match the begadim that we have. Okay, so pause for a second. So the Radziner said he has the tcheles. Many of the great rabbis of the time were not happy with him and said that this is not really true. We cannot 100% say that this is the tcheles or not. So if that is the case, that many were not a big fan of saying that the Radzin tcheles was the tcheles, the question is why? Like, where does it come from? How do you know exactly if you found the tcheles? So if you take a look at source number 6, we have a few different clues throughout Jewish history and throughout our various sources that indicate what exactly tcheles might be. So the Rambam says in source number 6, the term tcheles mentioned throughout the Torah refers to wool dyed light blue, the color of the sky, which appears opposite the sun when there is a clear sky, right? So that's a very specific blue. If you look at the Radzin Tcheles, it's much more of like a dark blue, as opposed to the Pasil Tcheles, which is closer to a light blue, closer to a sky blue that is being described over here. The term Tcheles, when used regarding tzitzis, refers to a specific dye that remains beautiful without changing. If the Tchelet is not dyed with this dye, it is unfit to be used as tzitzis, even though it is sky blue in color, right? So let's say I go get some food coloring, and I take some food coloring and I change, you know, like they have sometimes at camp, they make like tie-dye shirts or whatever. So let's say I'm going to make I'll make only blue tzitzis out of whatever fancy coloring. So that would not be appropriate. That would not be something that we can do. For example, using this isatis, some sort of a flower, a black dye or other dark dyes is unacceptable for tzitzis. And so therefore, according to the Rambam, we come to understand that there are some very specific clues trying to indicate for us what exactly is tcheles and what it should look like. And if you take a look in source number 8 as well, the Gemara in Menachos tells us that the sages taught the tchilazon, which is the source of the sky blue dye used in ritual fringes, has the following characteristics. So this is the animal itself. Its body resembles the sea. Its form resembles that of a fish. It emerges once in 70 years, and with its blood, one dyes wool sky blue for ritual fringes. It is scarce, and therefore it is expensive. As we'll see, as we'll mention now, there are some who postulate that there are some gedolim out there who agree that one should wear tcheles nowadays, but they can never allow it. The reason why is because since tcheles is so expensive, so and particularly Rav Yashav, one of the great gedolim in the more Haredi community, it was said of him that he believed that wearing tcheles was the appropriate thing to do, but he had all of these followers, all these people who followed his word like it was, you know, the word of God in a sense, if he said something, they would do it, meaning they would do it even if it meant perhaps their family starving because they don't have enough money to buy food. So Rav Yashav, again, this is sort of it's a bit of a what's the word?
Anecdote.
Sorry.
Anecdote.
Nah, well, not more than pathology. What's the word? Come on.
It's 22.
Well, sorry.
That's 22.
No, not close. Getting there. All right, whatever the word is, it was an apocryphal story that was told about Rav Yashav, that he said that he cannot allow people he cannot say that it is appropriate to wear, because once he does, the price is going to go, an urban legend, okay, maybe, the price is going to go through the roof, right? It'll cost $10,000 to buy a pair of tzitzis, and you'll have these people, his followers, that will go buy the tzitzis, but they won't be able to provide food for their children. That would be a tremendous chil Hashem, obviously. So therefore, he said better to risk not doing it, and maybe you lose a little bit of a mitzvah, but then at least people will be able to eat dinner that evening. And so therefore he never said that it is something that is allowed. But okay, so these are the various ways that we could potentially determine what the animal is and what the dye will look like. Essentially, though, our question is, this is going to be the remainder of our talk this evening, let's say we're totally wrong. Right? Let's say whoever found this techeles, which we'll talk about that in just a moment, whoever found this techeles, let's say he got it totally wrong. And if he got it totally wrong, what's the big deal? Right? Maybe. So I just have a little blue string that's an incorrectly dyed blue string. Why is that so bad? Is it bad at all? What would you say? Is it bad if I'm wearing the wrong stuff here?
Only if you say that tzitzit can't be any other color but white or tefillah.
Okay, good. So it really only becomes a problem if you have an opinion like the Shulchan Aruch. Because again, the Shulchan Aruch said you have to have your tzitzis matching your beged, matching the clothing, and or it has to only be white according to the Ramah. And so it's really only a problem for those who assume that it has to match. So if it's techeles, then there's no concern because it's techeles. But if it is not techeles, but I'm wearing some random blue dye that someone found from some snail somewhere, then that could potentially be inappropriate. Why might someone make the argument that it still is appropriate even if it's just potentially correct?
Intent.
Go on.
Your intent to comply with the mitzvah.
Okay. Maybe. Okay, so let's take a step back for a second.
Maybe reaching back to when I was a kid living in Belgium and going through the markets, there was always rabbit meat showing the feet with the fur on it so that nobody would confuse the rabbit with cat.
Okay.
So perhaps, I swear, it was what they did.
I'm sure it's going somewhere, Joyce.
But getting back to Marisa's comment about intent, if you're not intending to do the wrong thing and there's no way to know the difference, and somebody who has authority or has the credential to say, this is the thing, and nobody is questioning this is the thing, then it's the thing. In other words, you bought a rabbit. You didn't buy a cat.
Okay. I think I understand what you're saying. In other words, your argument is that perhaps if everyone assumes that this is the right thing, or at least if enough people assume it's the right thing, then as long as everyone thinks it's the right thing, then for all intents and purposes, it's the right thing.
Not that everybody assumes it's the right thing, but somebody with authority who is accepted as having authorities of saying this is the thing. Like the techeles you're wearing. Like, what if they're wrong? But everybody's accepting that they're right.
So, well, not everyone is accepting. But you're saying,
But people are wearing it. Everybody's doing it. It's Kiddush Hashem.
Okay.
It's raising up the mitzvah anyway. So, it's okay.
Okay. Okay, good. So let's take two more steps back and then we'll try to bring it all together. So again, so the Radziner Rebbe came up with this techeles in the late 1800s, and then many people didn't like it. It wasn't until the 20th century that Rav Herzog basically came along and said, this is not really the right techeles. And I think the story goes that Rav Herzog, he wrote like a dissertation or some sort of a research paper on the topic of techeles. And so he suggested that it was indeed a different animal, not the cuttlefish and not the snail, but ultimately everyone agreed that Rav Herzog's version of Tcheles was incorrect. I mean, I just want to pull up the correct name. What ended up happening was that the type of Tcheles that we have nowadays that comes from the Chilazon that was interpreted to be from this snail, which is called Murex trunculus, and that snail was determined by enough people to be as genuinely Chilazon-ish as possible. And they were able to produce the blue dye from it. And so then this great question became of, okay, well, what should we do? And that sort of brings us to our final two questions over here, is what does a person have to lose by wearing techeles? So what do you have to lose? If you wear techeles and you're wrong, then you are in violation of the Shulchan Aruch, which tells us that the custom is to wear colors of your strings that match your beged. There is also the additional factor to say that the traditional standpoint, right? So that our tradition has been X, Y, or Z for 1,000+ years to not wear tcheles. And if you are not doing what your tradition says for the last 1,000 years, you're breaking tradition by going back to what they did 1,500 years ago, but you're not following what they've done for the last 1,500 years. So that is what you have to lose. You can either be breaking tradition, or you can be violating a custom of the Shulchan Aruch, which tells us you have to have strings that match your garment. Now, what if they're correct? What if this is the tcheles? Then what do you have to gain?
The mitzvah wearing tcheles.
Everything. Right, you have a biblical mitzvah to gain. Right. So again, breaking tradition a little bit, perhaps, violating a custom, or gaining a biblical commandment, what would you say is the best? Gaining the biblical commandment, 100%. That's what I would say if you take a look at source number 11, Rav Schechter from YU. So he basically brings this exact argument. Rav Herschel Schechter in Ginat Egos, it's one of his svarim, he writes that there is very little reason not to wear the tzitzis because of a doubt that perhaps it is the correct techeles. He addresses the fact that the minhag is to wear a white garment with white strings, but says clearly that there's no reason that this minhag should override a possibility to fulfill a biblical mitzvah. Furthermore, the Beit HaLevi, who says that there's a prohibition of detracting from the mitzvahs by fulfilling a mitzvah in an inferior way, but since a positive mitzvah overrides a negative one, there's still reason to wear tzitzis without tcheles, because one still fulfills a positive mitzvah. Extending this further, Rav Schechter writes that if a person owns tcheles, then it becomes possible to fulfill the positive mitzvah and negative one simultaneously, and therefore one wouldn't be allowed to use a positive mitzvah to override a negative one. Essentially, what it comes down to is that if you look at it from this perspective that we just outlined, it's a no-brainer that you should wear tcheles, because again, you have everything to gain and very little to lose. Again, you may lose, if it's totally wrong, you're not following the customs as you should, but if you're totally right, you're gaining a biblical commandment. So therefore, everyone should absolutely wear tcheles. That is the tradition I have. However, I will make two more points. One of the points that I will make is that my Rebbe, Rav Willig Shlita, is a very anti-wearing tcheles. And I once asked my Rebbe, am I allowed to consider you my Rebbe if I wear tcheles, because I had a Rebbe before him who told me to wear tcheles. And he said, absolutely. You're wrong, but absolutely. And so anyone who is not wearing tcheles, you certainly have many, many, many great rabbis. You have more great rabbis on your side to not wear tcheles. However, there is a growing number of great rabbis who make this argument, as we just heard from Rav Schechter, that it's clear that you should probably wear tcheles again because you have very little to lose. Now, I'll make one final point, and then if there are any questions, we'll open it up to questions. Okay, good question, Melissa. We'll get to that in a second. The question that you have to really ask is, like, who cares? Right? So I get that it's a biblical mitzvah, but like, who cares? Right? At the end of the day, so you have a lot to gain theoretically, but everyone seems to agree that you're definitely fulfilling some level of biblical commandment, even without the tcheles. So why are we going so above and beyond to lose our minds? And as someone just sent me a question, it's so cost prohibitive for some people, because tcheles is more expensive than just a regular pair of tzitzis. So is it really worth it? Why are we going crazy? The answer to that, anyone have a potential answer? Why we're spending so much time, why we're quote-unquote wasting our time on such a there's so many other better things we could do with our time. Why are we spending so much time on this? Because that's what I decided to talk about tonight. Right, but beyond that, why is this so important? Okay, good, right? So it's exactly that. Just in case people in Zoom land didn't hear, it's because it's a biblical mitzvah. And if anything, this should help drive home the importance of every other biblical mitzvah for us, that this is what we do to make sure that we are as loyal to the tradition as possible, that we are keeping as, no pun intended, as black and white to the letter of the law as possible that we can do. And so ultimately, yeah, are we spending a lot of time on this? Is there a lot of ink that has been spilled on this to try to understand what what the reality is? Absolutely. But this is part of the beauty of Torah, though. We understand this tradition that we have that lasts for thousands of years, that is continuously evolving and growing, that ultimately, at the end of the day, it's totally clear that we should be prioritizing doing things as ideal of a way as possible. And so that's why I believe this is an important conversation, and that's why I do stress that people should really consider wearing tcheles. But to the question that was asked to me of whether or not it is cost prohibitive. So the cost prohibitive question is actually a good one. Just so people have a general understanding when we say cost prohibitive, so I think probably to buy a regular pair of tzitzis, just a regular baguette and regular white strings, I think is like 20, probably like 30, 35 bucks or something like that in a Judaica store. To buy tcheles is probably, depending on where you get it, probably around $100 to $120, right? And it's not for the baguette. The baguette is the same, but the strings, they just cost more money because you understand the dye costs more to draw it out, and as they become more popular, then theoretically, right, we all understand how economics works, right? So the price theoretically will keep going up, and especially again if any of the great gedolim out there will endorse it further, then it will become even more cost prohibitive. And so there is this question that you can ask of, if it is so cost prohibitive, like I literally cannot do it, so then there is what to say that maybe you are not obligated in doing it. However, it does happen to be that we spend so much money on other things that if a person is, again, average to middle class, and you're able to afford a lot of the beautiful luxuries of life that, thank God, I think most of us have, then to afford a pair of tcheles probably is not so impossible. And I'll just put a disclaimer that if anyone out there finds himself wanting tcheles and they can't afford it, talk to me. We'll make it work one way or the other. And so at the end of the day, is it a little cost prohibitive? A little bit. But it's, again, if it's for the biblical commandment and it's not beyond crazy, then it's certainly seems worthwhile. Anyways, with all that, we come to understand that it's clear that let's put it like this. I don't want to be so harsh about it. It's clear that this is something that every single person who wears tzitzis should consider doing because it is such a great argument as to why it should be worn. But again, one who does not wear tcheles, there are ample great rabbis out there who say that one is not obligated. And with that, open up to any questions.
Before you do that,
yeah.
Could you turn off your speaker on there?
Turn off my speaker.
Make sure we'll try to
okay.
So that we can hear their questions.
Okay.